Good day to you in Jesus' name. Hope all is good with you and yours. Glory to God for another dose of fuel from His Word. We live in a time where opinions come and go like the wind. One day they say this, and the next day they say that. Opinions are formed by what? Feelings, emotions, experiences, and many other things. Let's take a look at the definition of the word opinion from the dictionary. It says, a view, judgment, or appraisal formed in the mind about a particular matter. Next one, belief stronger than impression and less strong than positive knowledge. A generally held view, a formal expression of judgment or advice by an expert. The formal expression, as by a judge, court, or referee, of the legal reasons and principles upon which a legal decision is based. We are pressed daily by someone's view and their understanding of the situation. So what does this do? This takes us back to two views, our weekly feel from week 5, November 2023. You see, the Lord's and not the Lord's view. Again, it's the Lord's view and not the Lord's view. Two views. You see, man will see it his way because what? It feels good, or they don't want to leave anyone out. The Lord is very clear and precise about how he sees it. His law, his ways, his sight is righteous and right. Every single time, because he is holy. We are going to his word. Let's go to his word for insight. Let's read what's good in his sight and what's not good in his sight. This is part one for our field title, The Lord in His Sight. So now, we're going to look at some examples based on the yes, good in his sight, and the no, evil in his sight. So we're going to start off with the no's first. And we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 29 through 33. And this is King Ahab. And it says, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings who were before him. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and his youngest son, Segub. He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. So we see here that what? Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord. And it says, more than all who were before him. What did he do? He took Jezebel, who worshipped Baal, as a wife. He served and worshipped Baal. He set up an altar for Baal and made a wooden image. And people of today say it's okay to have many gods and that their God is the Almighty. Oh, how are they deceived? The word says Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In our next example, we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. verses 11 through 26, and then 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. And our example with this one is King David. Verse 26 says, "When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house. And she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." You see, the thing David did displeased the Lord. David was a man after God's own heart, is what the word tells us. But he did something wrong in the sight of the Lord. Now, yeah, we get it. David, he is a chosen vessel of the Lord. But he was not above the law of God, that he could do evil in the Lord's sight and get away with it. It's just not going to happen. Our Lord God is a just God. He will have justice according to his word and his ways, which are righteous. This goes for all non and believers alike. God is holy. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of its own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him.'" So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." Verse 7, "Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun.' So David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who was born to you shall surely die.' Then Nathan departed his house." Thank you, Lord, for your word. See, David, he hears the story. And David said, that man should die for doing what he did, not knowing that this example was actually about him. But once David found out that it was him, did he make excuses why he did what he did? Nope. He said what? I have sinned against the Lord. You see, we must take accountability for our actions without excuses being made to the Lord, because the Lord sees and knows everything. David thought that man should die, but the Lord didn't. Two views. But David still had to pay for the injustice he did. Yes, children of God. King David, whom the Lord chose, messed up, and he was called out for it. Our society would like to cover up or even forget the evil deeds that are being done before our very eyes. Have no fear, and know that the righteous judge, the Lord God, sees and will judge accordingly. Nothing is hidden from the Lord God Almighty. One more thing I want to point out in verse 12. It says, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. You see, David did it in secret. He tried to hide what he did. What the Lord chooses to reveal, no man can hide it. Why? It's not man and his wayward ways of doing it. You see, man could say, I feel bad for you, so I won't prosecute your evil deeds. The Lord said, I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun, knowing that David is the king. You see, the Lord makes known what he decides to make known. Can your man stop him? Absolutely not. But man and Satan think they are in charge. Ha, ha, ha. Hilariously funny, not true. You see, the righteous Lord God is in charge, and nothing happens without his knowledge or his consent by his own authority. By his own authority. Check out Acts chapter 1, verse 7 in reference. Our next example comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 through 17, and it's King David again. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it. And Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my Lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab, and God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he struck Israel. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you 3 things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else 3 days, the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. Verse 13. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent the plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, "It is enough. Now restrain your hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, "Was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued." Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Again, we see David doing evil inside the Lord. He does something that God is not pleased with. And again, we see David take responsibilities for his actions, like a true shepherd's supposed to do. Instead of saying, "Oh yeah, we're in this together. Sorry, I messed up, but we're all going down." He says, "Lord, I messed up. Take it out on me, not them." You see, David doesn't play the blame game. He says, "It's my fault. I sinned against you, Lord." But in the world we live in today, it is all about the blame game. We hear them say things like, "Well, they had this type of upbringing, so they responded this way." We hear, "Well, they're just giving them back. They're just getting them back for what they did to them." And then we hear, "You know, it's okay to treat someone bad if you're having a bad day. Because it's all about you, right? You and your feelings. You do you." No, no, no. That's the wrong view. And it is not the Lord's view. He already knows. He already knows that we'll make bad decisions. And that we'll do things that don't line up with his word. He knows this already. But what did he do? He sent his son to save us from sin. Can we just choose to admit our faults and sins to him, the one who knows all? Children of God, no more excuses. Take account for your actions, just as David did, myself included. We got to take account for our actions, because guess what? The Lord is going to hold us accountable for our actions. Each one for their actions. The Lord knows everything. So why are we trying to fake him out with excuses? Hey, it doesn't work. Hey, it won't work. Adam and Eve tried it and it didn't work. Check out Genesis 3 for that reference. Our next example comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. And this king is Jehoram. And Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. He had brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat: Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiah. I might have butchered that one, but work with me. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their father gave them gifts of silver and gold and precious things, with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and killed all his brothers with the sword, and also others of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. For he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David. And since he had promised to give a lamp to him and his sons forever. Thank you, Lord, for the word. This guy killed all his brothers. Family, ladies and gentlemen, killed his brothers. It says Jehoram did evil in the sight of the Lord. In verse 6, it says, and he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. And we know Ahab, we just read earlier, not good. For he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he made with David. And since he had promised to give a lamp to him, to his sons forever, the Lord, by his own authority, would not destroy the house of David because of the because of his covenant with David. You see, could it be that it's not as bad as it could be with us because of a covenant that the Lord has? Children of God, be thankful and repent of your sins. Our next example is King Ahaziah. Let's call him Ahaziah. And it comes from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 22, verses 1 through 9. And the scripture reads, then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made, Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. For the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. Therefore, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. He also followed their advice and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. Then he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which he had received at Ramah, when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria, and Azariah, goodness, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab in Jezreel, because he was sick. His going to Joram was God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall. For when he arrived, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it happened, when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab and found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers, who served Ahaziah, that he killed them. Then he searched for Ahaziah, and they caught him. He was hiding in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. When they had killed him, they buried him, because they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no one to assume power over the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So Ahaziah did evil in the sight of the Lord. We read his mother advised him to do wickedly. Wait a minute. His mom? Yes, his mom's advice was wicked. Children of God, be careful who you take advice from. No matter who it is, no matter who's giving it, it better line up with the word of God. It says he also followed the advice of the counselors, who also gave bad advice. Don't we trust counselors? Aren't they the ones who know a little bit more about something? Aren't they like the helpers, the expertise area that help a counselor? Be careful. Be watchful. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And we're told, beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing. We're also told, test the spirit with the spirit. You see, don't just say yes and agree because of a title or a position of someone. No. You be in agreement because the thing or the things that they're saying agrees with the Lord and his word. They're saying what the Lord says. We got to be in agreement with the Lord. Amen. Now, our last example is going to come from 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. This is King Ahaz. Verse 1, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done. For he walked in the ways of the king of Israel and made molded images for the Baals. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Therefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. They defeated him and carried away a great multitude of them as captives and brought them to Damascus. Then he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who defeated him with a great slaughter. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 in Judah in one day, all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, killed Maaseiah, the king's son, Azricam, the officer over the house, and Elkanah, who was second to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons and daughters. They also took away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. Wow. So Ahaz did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. You guys, this guy made molded images for the Baals. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. This one here. And burned his children in the fire? My goodness. He sacrificed in high places. This guy was not good. Not good. Not good. He was king at the time. You see, the killing of children today is horrific, just as in Ahaz's time. But he did it anyway, didn't he? Even though it went against the word of God, because we read that this guy burned his children in the fire. Today is no different, you guys. They have catchy names for murdering the children of today. It's evil in the sight of the Lord. No matter what they call it or how they dress it up, it is evil in the sight of the Lord. We just read that the Lord dealt with King Ahaz, just as he will deal with those of today that sacrifice children. The word says the Lord God delivered Ahaz into the hand of the king of Syria. Now it says he was defeated by a great slaughter. This wasn't a close fight. This was a great slaughter. It says 120,000 valiant men killed in one day. These are all guys who knew how to fight. but they forsook the Lord. You see, it doesn't end well for those who forsake the living God. The very one who shows mercy, the very one who shows grace and has grace, the very one who sent his son to save the world from sin. It says, how many women and children? Let me go back. Verse 8. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters. And they also took away much spoil from them. Wow. A great slaughter for this evildoer. So we're going to close with this question. What can we do as children of God in today's climate in the land of evildoers? Simple. Holy Spirit gave me this list. He says, obey the Lord and his word. Second, read and meditate on the word of God. Third, admit to Jesus your sins that he may forgive you. Fourth, praise his holy name and know that you belong to him and not the world. Where are we at? Number 5, do what is good in the sight of the Lord. 6, trust the Lord God over titles, family, and positions. 7, test the spirit with the spirit. 8, put on the whole armor of God. 9, have and walk by faith. And 9, trust Jesus. Amen. I pray, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob protect you and yours from the evil one. That you and yours may live a life that represents the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That you will fulfill your destiny according to the will of God. Glory to our Father in heaven and his Son, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Pastor Tyron, signing off.